Hello there. Welcome to the Public Health Podcast, Healthy Schmelty, the podcast that's helping you sort out all the schmelty from the healthcare news so you can stay healthy. You know, it's sometimes can be pretty difficult sorting out the fact from the fiction when you're reading the news, and that's what this Public Health Podcast is all about. And who am I, you're probably asking yourself? Well, that's a great question. I'm a career healthcare information specialist. I'm also a master's of public health, which coincidentally happen to be all the qualifications necessary to host this podcast. I'm Rishi B. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode, where I'm going to be flipping through some of the health headlines going on in the news right now. For example, the Trump White House ended up getting something right with healthcare. Also, the Supreme Court just reviewed a lawsuit regarding the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. And that actually, coincidentally, bumped up kind of nicely with the 2021 open enrollment. So we're going to be taking a look at that. And also, President-elect Biden just recently announced a COVID-19 board of advisors. And some of those advisors are as split as the country is on lockdowns. So we're going to be taking a look at that. Later on in this podcast, we'll hear from two public health professionals with the COVID data aggregation site called COVID Act Now, and they're going to be sharing about what led them to join COVID Act Now. But first, you know, reading the news, do you get sick of hearing about Georgia and all their peaches that they have down there so much? Are all these Instagram and social media posts from doctors and nurses freaking you out? And if so, you're probably thinking to yourself, Rishi, there can't possibly be any positive news. And to that I say, oh ye, of little faith, there absolutely is good news. It's time for a segment that I call Good News, Everyone.
Good news, everyone!
Alright, so this good news comes from CNET. This article is titled, This Poop-Themed Anime Game Wants You to Care About Your Digestive Health. So this is about a new Japanese mobile game called Unkure. Let's take a listen in to a clip of the game right now. Alright, so that was a clip from the Japanese game Unkure, which once again is a game that's encouraging you to share, encouraging the player to share tidbits about their digestive health. So that if that voice sounded like a stereotypical cute anime girl, then you would be absolutely correct. So this game, based off of what I saw, features a lot of those kind of stereotypically cute anime girls, but there's a twist. To win points in this game, you have to tell these anime girls about your daily bowel movements, and you then get points in the game, which help you fight monsters, which represent bacteria and tumors. So this is kind of a interesting game that was started by an organization known as the Japan Unko Society, which is trying to increase digestive health awareness amongst gamers. And the idea is that fecal quality can be an early indicator of health issues. So if these gamers, who traditionally are, you know, sitting in their mom's basements and they're not doing anything, I think that's kind of an old stereotype, actually. Are all gamers sitting in their mom's basements at this day and age? I don't know. But anyways, you know, gamers, regardless of whose basement they're in, whether it be their mom's or their own basement, they're kind of walled in somewhere playing a game for a long time. And so if these players who are playing this game report something that indicates an abnormality, the game will recommend them to see a doctor. So you can find the YouTube clip of this game at the show notes for this episode at rishib.com. But enough pooping around, let's get to those health headlines, shall we? All right, let's start with CBS News. This article is titled, CDC Urges Americans Not to Travel on Thanksgiving.
Begin with breaking news. Tonight, the CDC says the spread of coronavirus is now so out of control, Americans should cancel their Thanksgiving plans and not travel at all for the holiday. In a blunt and ominous warning, the government's top health protection agency now says ignoring those warnings and holding gatherings could lead directly to family members dying from COVID-19.
So this is about Thanksgiving, and by this point, when you're hearing this, this probably doesn't have a whole lot of effect on your plans. You've already decided to continue doing Thanksgiving or to not. However, I thought I'd just share this since there's Christmas coming up and other holidays, of course, New Year's Eve and all that. So these latest CDC guidelines that shared this recommendation to not travel for Thanksgiving, this came amid the first coronavirus task force update since August. This was in somewhere in the first couple weeks of November. And these guidelines are kind of reflecting statistics that I saw in the BBC and John Hopkins, that by continent, Europe and North America have the highest daily case rates. And some countries like Japan, Russia, Turkey, and Canada that were able to contain their first flare-ups, they're having some subsequent waves now. So, you know, the world at large is not doing great with this disease. However, America is unfortunately by far the country that seems to be doing the worst just based off of the publicly available data. America has the highest cases and the highest death counts, and cases seem to be affecting the Midwest primarily. Just worldwide, the damage to the global economy by COVID is four times worse than the 2008 financial crisis. And there's some estimates that up to 265 million are going to face starvation by the end of the year due to COVID-19. So as these holidays and all these, you know, gatherings that typically families get together for come up, maybe a good idea to maybe reconsider doing the plans that you normally would have done. Indoor gatherings are being observed as the biggest sources of outbreak. Just saw recently in the news a couple of different families where the entire families got COVID-19. I actually know someone personally who their entire family got COVID-19, unfortunately. And this is kind of reflecting what we saw in China, which had the original flare-up, of course, in the Wuhan area, where most spreaders of the disease were between family members. Let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about vaccines. What's going to be kind of changing the outlook of this pandemic? It's probably going to be social distancing with some help from vaccines. Let's take a listen in to a clip that's called Dr. Fauci Says Help is on the Way with New Vaccines. This is a clip from Chuck Todd's NBC show where he had an interview with Dr. Fauci.
Traditionally and historically, highly efficacious and effective vaccines have crushed epidemics like smallpox and polio and measles. We can do that with the vaccines that are going to be coming online.
I'm trying to figure out when we're going to plateau before March. There is no mitigating event, and there's no evidence that we're mitigating a thing. Where does this case count escalation stop? When does the hospitalization escalation stop? Are we really staring at until the vaccine?
It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. We're not going to completely eliminate it and turn it around rapidly and dramatically, but we can prevent it from increasing. You look at the curve, Chuck, it's almost exponential. When you compare the curves in the spring and the curves in the summer with the inflection of the curve where we are right now, we should not accept that we can't do anything about that. Putting vaccines aside for a moment, which will be extraordinarily helpful, if we implement the simple public health measures that I was mentioning to you, we can blunt that inflection. It doesn't have to be as high up.
So as Dr. Fauci said, help is on the way with these vaccines. They're going to be extraordinarily helpful, but we still need to be cautious. And just a quick vaccine update. So it looks like three vaccines are on the way. Pfizer and Pfizer already got emergency approval, or submitted their emergency authorization approval, I should say, to the FDA. Pfizer and Moderna are found to be 95% effective. Moderna's right behind Pfizer in submitting a request for that emergency use authorization. And then recently, Oxford, somewhere around 70% effectiveness was found for that one. And that one is right around the corner as well, probably somewhere around mid-December. You may be thinking, what does that 90% effectiveness mean? And actually, I was looking into this. So somewhere around 95% effectiveness is typically where most vaccines are at. And that means that 9 out of 10 people will get some protection against the disease. I should note that we still don't know how long the immunization from this vaccine will last, but there will be some immunization, as the research has shown. And if you want to get more information about some of what these vaccines and the different things mean, I'll share a link at the end of this segment. But let's move on to the next story now. This is coming from CNBC. The Supreme Court appears willing to leave Obamacare in place.
That's right, Scott. A big court hearing at the Supreme Court today over the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. And from the arguments, which wrapped up 2 hours worth, it appears that the justices are not inclined to throw out the whole law. Of course, it's foolhardy to say what the justices will decide. But here are the facts. Basically, the Republicans are arguing that when the penalty for the individual mandate was zeroed out, it was no longer a tax. And that had been a linchpin of Justice Roberts' argument for upholding the law back in 2012. But Justice Roberts didn't seem to be inclined to hear that argument today. And in fact, some of the conservative members, Justice Alito, said, well, you're talking about perhaps a plane that you pull it out and it's not going to fly. But from what we've seen, the plane has not crashed.
All right. So this is one of dozens of lawsuits that Republican governors from the country, around the country, filed against the Affordable Care Act. This is the third one to go to the Supreme Court, and this one's about a 2017 tax law that nulled out the tax penalty for not getting healthcare insurance, which was known as the mandate. So like we just heard, the crux of the case is that, well, since the tax penalty, the mandates got nulled out, does that mean that the whole Affordable Care Act law should get nulled out? And the crux of that argument hinges on the Republican governors proving that they were harmed by a $0 penalty. And as you can imagine, that seems to be pretty difficult to do. And also, one part of the law being nulled out, which makes the whole law ineffective, as we just heard that a couple of even of the conservative Supreme Court justices don't buy that argument. So we're getting some early glimpses of what their decision will be, but that won't be until somewhere around June of 2021. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that all this is being hammered out right now, when there's around 20 million people's healthcare insurance that hinges on particular pieces of Obamacare. So if that law were to get nulled out, then those 20 million people would lose their healthcare insurance immediately. So let's talk about healthcare insurance now. Let's move on to open enrollment. This next article is also from CNBC. This is Susie Orman sharing lessons learned from her recent health scare.
I could have really taken action before it had gotten almost to the point, seriously. They freaked out as soon as they did the MRI bill. 2 days later, I was in a 12-hour surgery.
So what's the lesson here? What's your takeaway that people can learn beyond just the, you know, don't be afraid? If you're sensing some symptom, you know, get to the bottom of it there.
It's don't be afraid to go to the doctors. Don't be afraid to get whatever they're going to tell you, no matter what it is. Their news is far better. Knowing something is better than the unknowing of something because of what can happen.
Okay, so I wanted to share this clip from Susie Orman, who, if you don't know, is a financial guru. She pops up a lot on CNBC. I think she even has a show on CNBC at this point. But she was talking about something there about her recent health scare regarding some cancerous tumor that she felt symptoms of for a long time. She says something around like 15 years or so, but she didn't get it looked at or treated until it was very severely affecting her. And this is actually something I hear from a lot of people when they found when they find out I'm a healthcare guy. I hear from a lot of people, friends and family, that they avoid going to the doctor. A lot of people don't have healthcare insurance, and actually, a great way to prevent healthcare stuff happening to you is if you get healthcare insurance and you go to an annual doctor checkup. Don't be afraid of what they're going to tell you. Doctors are great people. So this is one of many helpful video clips that CNBC put together in an article that's a guide to help readers figure out their open enrollment options. The deadline for open enrollment is December 15th, and I'll share that CNBC article that provides a guide and also provide some other links. But let's move on to the last clip. This is coming from ABC News. Biden advisor walks back earlier proposal calling for lockdown. So this is a clip from an ABC News morning show where they spoke with Dr. Vivek Murthy, who's a former Surgeon General under President Obama and the current co-chair of President-elect Biden's COVID-19 Advisory Board. This is regarding one of the members of Biden's advisory board, Dr. Osterholm, who in an interview recommended a national lockdown somewhere around 12 weeks that would be coupled with a stimulus. Let's listen to Dr. Vivek Murthy's comments on that.
One of the other members of your advisory board, Dr. Michael Osterholm, floated the idea of a 4 to 6 week lockdown to get the spread of the virus under control. Is this the view of the incoming Biden administration? Should Americans anticipate more lockdowns?
Well, I don't think this is a lockdown or not locking down. I think that's how we thought about this in this spring. But I think we've learned a lot since then about how this virus spreads and what we can do to reduce risk. And right now, the way we should be thinking about this is more like a series of restrictions that we dial up or down depending on how bad spread is taking place in a specific region. In New York City, for example, what you're seeing is them target their interventions down to the zip code. So we're not in a place where we're saying shut the whole country down.
Okay, so once again, that was Dr. Vivek Murthy commenting on a fellow Biden advisory board member, Dr. Osterholm, who recommended a national lockdown. The reason I wanted to share this clip is just kind of reflecting the debate that happens within science and healthcare. You could assume that these two members of Biden's advisory board are the face mask type. Unfortunately, face masks have become politicized, but that's where we're at. And so you can imagine that these two guys who are part of Biden's COVID-19 advisory board are probably face mask people. And even these two guys, they differ on ideas. And, I wanted to share this because I just wanted to reiterate, or maybe not reiterate, but just kind of narrow in on the concept that science involves some kind of conflict with ideas. And we saw this earlier in the pandemic in March and April about face masks. There is a number of public health experts, including Dr. Fauci, and maybe even Dr. Vivek Murthy, who we just heard. But Dr. Fauci was lukewarm about the idea of having to wear face masks, because at that time there wasn't a lot of science done or research done on how effective face masks are, because at that time, the only people who really wore face masks were some Asian countries where they wore that as kind of a cultural thing following a SARS outbreak that happened in the early 2000s. But since that time, there's been a lot of research done on the effectiveness of face masks. And so that research now, what was once lukewarm is now piping hot. It's piping hot out the oven, folks, these face masks. The research shows that community-wide adoption of face masks actually does keep virus spread low. And, you know, this learning from maybe being wrong initially is just something that's kind of a common thing in science. And unfortunately, it kind of seems like some people don't really want to learn. They want to be apologized to. And I'm thinking here specifically about President Trump and Vice President Pence, who spent their debates kind of defending what they did earlier in this year in response to COVID-19. And, you know, what they did is helpful. I'll say it. You know, they kept reiterating the shutting down travel from other countries and how they put a ton of money towards Operation Warp Speed. Yeah, you deserve a clap on the back. Those are things that worked. However, those aren't the only things that are necessary. We're now finding that although USA is doing the most testing in the world, we aren't at a place yet where anyone can just get a test. And there's lots of delays in tests, even for severe patients. I'm reading that some tests still take up to 10 days, 14 days to get results for severe patients. And, so while you did some stuff that was good, you also need to close up the gaps where you're not doing so great. And, you know, now America accounts for 20% of the pandemic, but our population is only 4% of the world, where number three, India, has over 1 billion people. So, you know, maybe confusion is going around because COVID-19, at this point, even though America has the highest daily case rates, it still thankfully hasn't tangibly affected everyone. And so maybe that's causing some confusion. I have a conservative friend who we were talking about this the other day outside in an outside gathering. We were being safe, but we were talking about this. And my conservative friend was telling me that they think the media has been overhyping the COVID-19 pandemic. But as I was kind of digging into that a little bit, what I found from this conservative friend is what he really wants is to understand the truth of what's going on. However, the recommendations that he sees from his typical news sources, they're all varying. So I guess the question then becomes, what obligation do we have when a disease hasn't hit our front door necessarily? And I was thinking a lot about this because you might have seen this too. In the news and on social media, doctors have been kind of trying to flood the media with their calls for support and their calls for some of the horror stories that are going on out there. I live in Michigan, and here, Michigan Public Radio and Detroit Free Press, they did a project collecting stories from Michigan doctors from all around the state. And they're talking about how Michigan hospital workers are facing massive burnout, especially as public support is kind of fading for them. You know, I think it came in the news earlier in the year, earlier in the pandemic, where people were banging pots and pans and all that kind of thing in support for doctors. And now that's kind of fading away as many people are even questioning whether COVID-19 is real or as severe as everyone's making it kind of sound like. So there's a number of physician horror stories, burnout. One physician just quit because they just had to for their own mental health. There is a reporter talking about how they were talking to nurses and doctors as they were bursting into tears just from exhaustion because their hospitals were so full with COVID and the non-COVID patients just packing the hallways because there's just not a lot of hospital rooms available to them, unfortunately. So, you know, I can appreciate getting confused with all the different information out there with just different news sources. But I think we all need to give these doctors and nurses and all the healthcare providers probably the benefit of the doubt that they're not fabricating a pandemic. All right, folks, I'll get off my soapbox now. Those were the health headlines. If you think I missed something, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find contact links at rishibee.com, rishibee.com. You can also find me on Twitter Instagram. You can also like the Healthy Schmelty Facebook page. I'm Rishi B on all the social medias. And I also appreciate your subscriptions and support for the podcast. Like rating, giving me a positive review. Giving Healthy Schmelty a positive review is very much helpful. And at the show notes for this episode, I'm going to put article links for all the stuff that we talked about. For example, there's a vaccine frequently asked questions that the BBC put together with John Hopkins that was really great. That kind of was a great little, they give like really short responses. So it's, you know, it's very helpful if you're kind of struggling to understand how all this vaccines and all that kind of stuff is going to work out. Also, as I mentioned, open enrollment is going around right now in America. The deadline, once again, is December 15th. I'm going to put a couple links that I find helpful for me. There's a lot of local resources in every state that will help you. There's a great one that actually talked with me a couple of years ago in Michigan. So if you're in Michigan, I have a great one that I'll post at the show notes for this episode, once again, at rishib.com, where you'll also find a set of resources that can help you make sense of what's going on in the COVID-19 pandemic. That's at a menu button called COVID-19 Help that features a number of different resources, including COVID Act Now, who we're going to listen to right now. So COVID Act Now spoke to me a couple weeks ago, and they explained how to interpret pandemic data. And they were talking about, like, what does it mean, this daily case rate? Why do you need to do a proportion of a population to understand these metrics? How is a COVID death defined? There's a lot of great information. And the two people who spoke to me were Michaela and Megan with COVID Act Now. And that organization was started impromptu by a number of public health professionals who were trying to make a helpful resource to interpret COVID-19 pandemic data. And because it was kind of started organically, I was kind of curious how Michaela and Megan joined COVID Act Now. Let's take a listen. You know, my understanding of COVID Act Now was that it, you know, it's right there in the title that it got put together, the organization got put together as a response to the pandemic. You don't have to get share as much as you're willing to share, obviously, but I appreciate any information about, you know, when this pandemic started, where you were at and what sort of pushed you to joining COVID Act Now.
Yeah. On a personal note.
Yeah,
for sure. So I live in LA. I moved back here to be with my family. I was definitely not expecting to be here as long as I have been. And I was working with, in two places, I was working with LA Homeless Services Authority. That was my primary job, LA Homelessness Authority, through an internship. And that became really difficult remotely once the pandemic, once shelter in place was put in place, because I hadn't been there for very long. And it's just, you know, different work environments adapt differently to this time and to remote learning. And so I come from a public health background, science, technology, and society background. I felt that in order to navigate this time for myself, I needed something to do that directly related to addressing COVID and addressing the lack of leadership that I was seeing. And so I reached out. A lot of COVID Act Now is built off of, like, I have a friend who does this. Would they be helpful? Great. You know, like, my sister is an engineer. Would she be helpful? It gets a lot of, you know, kind of ragtag team of people coming together during this time. And so I reached out to someone I knew and was like, do you know anyone working in this space? And she happened to connect me with one of the founders.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
And
yeah, that's kind of like what I got from how the org, I don't know where it was from. It might have been, it was online somewhere, like, I want to say maybe even Time Magazine, but I heard about COVID Act Now, like, before the website was actually fully functional. Mm-hmm. And I saw that there was, like, a brief summary about, like, hey, we pulled together all these cool people around the country. So it seemed like a very organic way of, and you reflected that. That's awesome.
It came to be because the founder, Max Henderson, he's a former he worked for Google, and early stages of the pandemic, he just like saw a need for a tool like this in his community. He was, you know, just like needed to see what was happening with COVID and where it was going. And so he built this spreadsheet model, and so many people viewed it that it crashed. Like it couldn't sustain the amount of who were looking at it. And so that's why, that's kind of what sparked it turning into this website. And then working alongside experts who were less in the tech field, because a large part of our team are engineers and data, you know, designers, web designers. So we've brought in more and more public health and medical experts to inform how we've gone about it. But it really was just kind of like an all hands on deck. This is something that our country needs, and it's, you know, if someone else isn't going to do it, then we are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel with my small little podcast here. You know, if even one person listens to this, then, you know, that one person, hey, you never know, that one person might share it with other people. And but just that one person, you know, just their understanding is another person who wears a mask and stays at home. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Megan, how about yourself? Where were you at the beginning of this? And what prompted you to COVID Act Now?
Yeah, so I haven't been with COVID Act Now as long as Michaela. I'm not one of the OGs, which is, I think it's very cool to say at this point after it's changed so much. But back in March, geez, this is kind of funny, but I was actually studying in Switzerland, and I was in a program of study about global health and had to leave the country very quickly as soon as things went down in Italy. And borders were closing, and so I left the country in a panic, went back home, spent a few months doing absolutely nothing and trying to figure out what was going on and when I could like return to my normal life. And of course it became clear that like this pandemic and its impacts on our country would be lasting like much longer than I think we all thought back in March. So I was actively looking for ways that I could be contributing in any way. I think it's, you know, it was at times like very scary and isolating and just overall like confusing throughout the whole like the first 4 months, I would say. And so it was really important to me to be able to find a way that I could be contributing, you know, not just in my individual actions, in my community, wearing masks, staying home, that sort of thing, but also on a bigger level and as a way to help me understand the whole situation, what was going on, and to help others understand that as well. And so I sort of came into COVID Act Now also through a connection through somebody that I studied with. And yeah, now I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you all. Thank you both very much. Appreciate you kind of sharing your personal stories as well.
Thank you.
And once again, explaining all those data points, this is going to be very helpful for me personally.
It's been helpful for us too. We have a lot of conversations with people who are much more knowledgeable and in the public health and medical sphere. So, like, you know, it's great for us to kind of flex this muscle of taking all that information and sharing it with others.
All right, folks. So once again, that was Michaela and Megan with COVID Act Now. And you can find the website for COVID Act Now at covidactnow.org. And if you want to listen to that podcast episode that's titled COVID Act Now, you can find the Healthy Schmelty podcast wherever you found this one, obviously. but if you want to find that particular episode, that's at rishibi.com or wherever you get podcasts. So that's going to do it for this episode of Healthy Schmelty. Find article links for this episode once again at rishibi.com. And appreciate all your support for this podcast. So I guess I'm going to have to leave it with, make sure you stay healthy. Make sure you stay away from everything that's schmelty. Ha ha ha. See you later.